In the book of Luke chapter 1 this morning, notice with me as we turn to Luke chapter 1, I want to read verse 5 to begin our message, and I want to preach a message this morning titled Zacharias and Elizabeth. Notice with me as we come to Luke chapter 1, reading in verse 5, we've been looking at some saints that were waiting for the consolation of Israel, that were waiting for the first coming of Christ. And we find here in verse 5 that he said, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you've given us to assemble together. And Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for our salvation that you've given to us as the gift of God. And now we ask this morning, Lord, that you would meet with us and speak to our hearts. And Lord, we just ask for your anointing and blessing to be upon the reading of Holy Scripture. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen, and you may be seated. Now notice with me, as we come here, we find, as we come to Luke chapter 1, we find the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now we also find the story of Mary here in this chapter that we'll be looking at tonight, the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we also find in this chapter the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as in some thoughts on that in chapter 2. Now, as we come here to this passage of Scripture, our text that we're going to be looking at this morning covers a large part of Luke chapter 1. So stay with me as we consider these things here today. Now, when we come to this section, and again, last week we had looked at the Anna the prophetess, and we looked at Simeon, the servant of the Lord. All of these are waiting for the coming of Messiah. As we're looking for the Messiah to return the second time, these were people that were waiting for the first coming of the Lord. And there had been 400 years of prophetic silence. And as we come here into the New Testament, that silence is broken, and God once again speaks, and this time He speaks through His Son, as we read about in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, when we find this prophetic silence being broken, we find that the glory of God has begun to dawn. The kingdom of God is coming. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the messenger, as in Malachi chapter 3. Israel had fallen into apostasy during this time of silence, and they were under Roman rule, but there were many in Israel that were waiting for the consolation of Israel, as there are those that are waiting today. The majority had fallen into apostasy. That was true in the first century. That is also true in the time in which we live today. But there was a remnant. They were those who were waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, before I get into our outline, my outline is on the board for this morning and also this evening. But before I get into our outline, I want to refer to, I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 18, and I want to refer to a few other verses. Now, in our testimony, they've been three people that made reference to the importance of the Word of God in their life, and I want to you to turn to Luke 18. I'm going to read in Romans, and I want you to think about this as we come here this morning, and think about the importance of God's Holy Word. Now, in Romans chapter 15, and I'm not asking you to turn to the book of Romans, but in Romans chapter 15, as I mentioned last week, Romans chapter 15 in verse 4, God says that for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And we ask the question, why did God give us the Old Testament? Well, I think there's a number of reasons. One is to give us, as the passage says here, for our learning and through patience and comfort that we might have hope. And so when we go and look at the doctrine of the Old Testament or individuals in the Old Testament, when we go and look at the life of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob or Moses or David or any of those, we are learning and we are gaining confidence and comfort and patience as we look at these individuals. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to come into the New Testament and look at some individuals that were waiting for the consolation of Israel. We find that Zacharias and Elizabeth and also Mary, we know to be the mother of Jesus, that they were all anticipating the coming of Messiah. And so as we consider that in Romans, we also must consider in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, a very familiar passage that where it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So where do we get our faith from? It's not from the news media. It is not from movies. It's not from secular books or the philosophy of this world. Where do we get our faith from? We get it from God, His Word. So that's where faith comes from. And then we find in Romans 1:17. I'm going to read in Luke in just a moment, but this thing about faith is just so important, and we're not talking about just getting saved. We're talking about that faith by which we need every day that we live in waiting for the Lord's coming and waiting for Him to serve Him during this time that we have on this earth. But in Romans chapter 1, also we find in verse 17 of this chapter, he says in this passage, the latter part of the verse, talking about the gospel, he said, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Do you realize that that phrase, the just shall live by faith, is mentioned in Romans? And it's also mentioned in Habakkuk chapter 2. It's mentioned in Galatians chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse, I believe it's verse 38. And so when we consider putting all those verses together, and especially in Hebrews, in Hebrews 10 verses 30 2 through the end of the chapter to about verse 38 or so, we find that the first century saints were going through tremendous trials, persecutions, the spoiling of their goods. In other words, they were many in the first century, they could not get the best jobs, live in the best homes and things like that because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And so when we consider this, we find that faith, according to Hebrews 11, verse 1, 2, and 3, is the opposite of doubt. And so you and I, we need faith more than just getting saved. We need it every day that we live in this world. And so when we think about faith, we think about the Word of God, we have to think about truth. Truth. And Pilate said, what is truth? He didn't really want to know what truth was. Jesus said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. That is free from the philosophy of this world, free from our own selves. One writer years ago said, I only need to know two things. Hath God spoken and what has He said? And that's all I want to know. Has He spoken? And if He has, what has He said? And He's given us His truth in His Word. Truth has the ideal of conformity to fact or reality. When we come to Zacharias and Elizabeth here this morning, and then tonight, Mary, the mother of Jesus, we're talking about three people here that were waiting for the consolation of Israel, three people that had put their faith in the Word of God, three people that loved and knew the Holy Scripture. And you and I are told to rightly divide the Word of truth. We're to divide truth from error. We're to love the truth. We're to be conformed to the truth. We need to cry out as the man in Matthew 17, verse 14 through 21, and he cried out and said, "Lord, help my unbelief." Now notice as we read in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, and we see here the sin of unbelief that is mentioned here. And he says here in verse 8, he said, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, he said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And this implies a lack of faith among God's people that is doubting the promises of God as time goes on. And you notice with me that as we back up now, notice with me to Luke 8:18, just the opposite of 18:8, the Luke 8, verse 18. Notice here now, you see, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? That means that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. That means that we are patiently enduring, persevering in the faith, as in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 38 or 39. Now notice with me as we come to Luke, this time in chapter 8. And I want you to see there's a warning given here about us hearing God's Word. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to be reading this time verse 18. Notice what he says. He says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." I'm not going to read any father here. He's dealing with the parable of the sower, the parable of the kingdom, so forth. But notice there's a warning here. He said, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." Now, notice with me back in Luke chapter 1, and I said all of that, and I've been thinking about this week, the importance of faith, not just getting saved, but the faith that we need, that Abraham and Sarah had, that others have had. We need this faith. Now let's consider three things this morning. Let's consider their Zacharias and Elizabeth. Let's consider their testimony of faith. And let's consider their reward for faith that they had in God. And number three, we'll consider their testimony to faith. Now notice with me as we come back to this passage, and we just read a moment ago, as we come here to verse 5, we just read that Zacharias was a priest, and he was in a particular order. And as we come to the Scriptures, we find that he was a descendant of Aaron, the priesthood, and we also find that he married the daughter of a priest. And we find that the priesthood was divided into 24 courses by King David. And we find that Zacharias belonged to the course of Abijah, and that was the eighth course, and each one of these courses, of these 24 courses, these priests, every priest would serve, every year they would serve a week, in the temple worship and service there. They would do this twice a year, but it would be for a week long. There was about 1,000 priests that was in each order. And that would give you quite a few priests throughout a year that served in this capacity. Now, we find here that he also married, daughters of Aaron, basically, married priests. And so, in other words, we find that they both was of this lineage. Now, Zacharias, we find, he goes in to serve near the golden altar. And he spreads incense over the coals of the golden altar. And this was all symbolic of prayer. You can find that in the book of Psalms 141 and verse 1 and also in Revelation chapter 8. So we see that in verse 5, we find that Zacharias was a priest and he's married to Elizabeth. And now, notice with me, as we come to verse 6, we're going to consider their example of faith. Now, this is encouraging to me, and I hope that it will be to you also. I've been studying on these all week long, And maybe you'll take the opportunity to spend some time on it as well. But I've just been running verses and reading it and meditating upon it and just looking at every aspect I can to try to receive a blessing and a help from this. Now, Zacharias' name means the Lord remembered. The Lord remembers. Elizabeth's name means that God is my oath. And John the Baptist, their son, as we're going to see, and it means that God is gracious. Now, this was a godly couple. Both, they were one in the Lord, they were one in marriage, and they were one in service. We find that John the Baptist grew up in a good home, in a Christian home, in a godly home. We find that both Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were seekers of the truth. They were worshipers of God. They were on the same page. They were on the same team. In other words, they were serving God together. Now, I want you to notice with me as we come to verse 6 and notice some statements that are made about them. We find that in verse 6 it says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Now here's one of the first things that we find about them, that the Lord gives us their example of faith. We find that this couple, here in the Bible, waiting on the consolation of Israel, waiting on the first coming of Christ, we find that they were righteous. They were walking in all the commandments of the Lord blameless. We find they were obedient. They were faithful to God. We find that they were very prayerful. We're going to see that in a few moments. We find that they were serving God. They were very devout. Notice, let me just read a few other verses to point that out. In verse 6, he says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Verse 7. "And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course," now notice he's doing his ministry here, and it goes on to say in verse 9, "according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense." So we find that here in this passage, in verse 6, coming back to that, that they were both righteous. What do we mean by that? They were righteous not only before men, but he said they were righteous before God. And he goes on to say in this passage, and he said, "walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Now, it's one thing to be righteous before men. That's a little bit easier to do because you don't always have to be around man. You know, these times you can be alone. But here we find that they were righteous before God. You cannot get away from the eyes of the Lord. That's 24/7. And we find here the word righteous has the idea of being straight, being right, walking according to the rule of God. And if you want some scriptures that talk about this thing, who shall dwell in the temple of the Lord and who shall dwell in Zion and so forth, Psalms 15 verses 1 and 2. And also Psalms chapter 24 verses 3 through 5 and 2 Kings chapter 20 in verse 3. Now notice he said they were both righteous before God. You know, that gives me hope that I as a Christian can attain to these things. That I can walk before God. I can be pleasing to God. And here we find that they were both righteous before God, walking in, notice, in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. The word blameless is in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. Basically means that no one can point a finger of them being guilty of any sin and rebellion against God. Now when we think about this, they were walking in all the commandments and ordinances. Even in the New Testament, we have commandments and ordinances. How many know that? And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, he said, keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you. There's two ordinances that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And one of them is the Lord's Supper. And we find the commandments of God. We find the commandments. He said that they were righteous before God. Both of them. Notice not just one of them. I've watched in marriages sometimes. Sometimes one is dragging the other along, spiritually speaking. But not in this case. They're like Aquila and Priscilla. They're both walking in the things of the Lord. Sometimes the man will be dragging the wife along, spiritually speaking. Sometimes the woman will have to drag the man on. But here we find that both of them were righteous before God. Both of them were walking in all. Notice he said all of the commandments, not some of them, but all of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And just to remind you, I put in an article back here, the commandments of the Lord, the New Testament commandments. There was a man years ago tried to count all the commandments in the New Testament that God has given to us that we can walk in them under the New Covenant, led by the Holy Spirit, and he come up with over 1,000 New Testament commandments. I've had people say, well, we're not under the commandments today. We've got over 1,000 New Testament commandments. And these commandments, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, are not grievous. And according to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, these commandments will determine whether we're truly saved or not, if we are or if we are not walking in them. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 and verse 24 also speaks of that. Even the Lord Jesus, the night before He went to the cross and died, He talked about in John chapter 14 and verse 14 and 15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. In John chapter 15 and verse 10, He spoke of His commandments. In Matthew 28 verses 18 and through 20, He spoke of the fact, He said, under the Great Commission, when you go out and you make disciples and you carry the truth out. In other words, He says, teach the nations the things that I have given to you, the things that I have taught you. So when we come to this section, they were righteous before God. They were walking in all, not some, but all. They didn't pick out the commandments they liked and leave the others on the shelf. They were walking in all the commandments of the Lord, blameless. Notice that. Blameless before God. And they didn't just know the commandments, but they were living out the commandments of God in their lives. And this is before that Christ even died on the cross. This is before Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came in a unique way to fill the people of God and give them the power to walk and keep God's commandments in the New Covenant. This is before that Pentecost. This is before that Christ was even born. You've got a man and wife that are walking in all the commandments of God. You realize that walking in the commandments of God demonstrates our love for God. Revelation 12, 17. Revelation 14, 12. Revelation 22 and verse 14. We find that they're those who love God's commandments, and they demonstrate that love by keeping the commandments. Now, I want you to notice here as we come back, he said in verse 6 again, let's read this verse again. He goes on to say here, he said in verse 6, and he said, and they were both righteous before God. Oh, let that get down in your soul. Let that get in our hearts and minds. He said they were righteous. Notice before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But I want you to notice something else when we look at their example of faith. I want you to notice in verse 7. Do you realize that when we think about problems, life is not without difficulties. Can I get a witness? Life is not without difficulties. Now, we've just been told that they're walking with God, they're walking before God, they're righteous, they're keeping the commandments, and they are keeping the ordinances of God, they're doing this blameless, but then He's going to tell us about some of the difficulties that they had in life. And life is filled with difficulties. You can be an atheist, you're going to have difficulties. You can be a Christian, you're going to have difficulties. In other words, this is something that comes along with being a human being. And they had reproach for many years. I'm going to show you what it is here. Every person has some type of sorrows and adversities that come into their life. And you're going to see in verse 7 that they did not follow the Lord or serve God for naught. You're going to see here that they're not fair-weather Christians. They were steady, they were faithful, even in adversity. Now notice with me in verse 7. I'm going to be reading in verse 7. And here we see that even though they were righteous and they kept God's commandments, they were things, they were reproaches in their life. He says in verse 7, and they had no child. Now you got to understand in biblical times, this was a great stigma. And there was a great stigma that is attached to being childless. And we read about that in Genesis a number of times. 1 Samuel 1 in verse 19 with Hannah. We read about this in other places. Because God had mentioned in Deuteronomy 7:14 that they would be fruitful, they would multiply, as in Genesis chapter 1. The command that's given there, He told the children of Israel, this is what's going to happen with you if you be obedient to Me as you come into the land. But here's a couple, here's a family, here's a man and wife that they had no child. This is very important to biblical people. Very important to Christian people. Notice he says here in verse 7, he said, and they had no child. Now here's the reason why. It says, because that Elizabeth was barren and they both were now well stricken in years. They had no child. She was barren. And we'll read this later, but in verse 24 and 25, it speaks of the reproach that was upon them. And then you'll notice with me that they were well stricken in years. You'll notice in verse 18 of this passage, in Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Kind of reminds you of Abraham and Abraham and Sarah. I'm sorry, just kind of reminds you of that when you read this passage. So there were two reproaches, two adversities, I guess we could say, in their life as far as children's concerned. She was barren, and they both were old. Now I want you to think about this. And they were still faithful to God. They didn't blame God. Many years of continual prayer, we're going to see. Many years. And we're going to see that God always rewards faith. So first of all, before I move to the second point, we see their example of faith that can be a blessing to you and I. They were faithful. They were serving God. They were steady. They were in their older years, well stricken in age. And we find that even though there was adversity, there was reproach, we find that they never quit serving God. They just kept praying, they kept serving, they stayed faithful to God. Now let's come to the second thing, is that is the reward for faith. Now notice with me as we come, and I'm going to begin. Well, let's just go down and read verse 13. And then I will back up and read a few other verses before and after. Notice with me in verse 13. We have these words. It said, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So we see their reward for faith. Many years of continual praying. You say, was they still praying in their 60s, 70s? Were they still praying for a child? It appears to be. Some say they weren't. They had only prayed for so many years. I mean, we don't know that for sure. But we do know that their prayer is heard. Their prayer is heard. And they never gave up. They kept the faith. And if they did pray all of these years, even after They were well stricken in years. You think about it, prayed in the 20s, as most young couples do, give us a child. Prayed in their 20s. The 20s came. The 30s. 30s come and gone. Now you're in your 40s. You're praying, Lord, what's going on? Then you get into your 50s and you say, well, I'm beyond having children now. And then your 60s. And then you get in your 70s. They had prayed for children, and God hadn't given them any children, but they're praying, but they never blamed God. They never quit on God. They never got bitter. You got to be careful with bitterness because that root is hard to dig up once it gets, set and so forth. And so they just kept serving God even though they kept praying. Now you say, well, were they still praying in their 60s and 70s for a child? I don't know, but it appears to be that way. But we know they had prayed for a child because He said in this passage, He said, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. What is interesting in the passage is that they're not only going to have a son, but they're going to have a special son. Not just any son, but they're going to have a special son. Now I've been thinking about this week. Been thinking about the subject, and me and Brother Ernie was talking about this on the phone this morning. Been thinking about the subject of patience. Amen? That's something this society don't know anything about. And thinking about patience and endurance and perseverance and trusting God and waiting on God. And when I look at this, you know, when we think about prayers, God will either say yes, or He will say no, or sometimes He'll say wait. And when I look at this passage here and I think about now, and by the way, the last but not least, amen? And here they, all these years that have went by, they have prayed, they have trusted God, they have walked in God's commandments, they never got bitter, they never turned against God, they never said, why is God not, they count the faith is what I'm trying to say. Now, I've really been thinking about this. Here we come, and they're well stricken in age, and Zechariah admits, he said in verse 18, I'm an old man, my wife is well stricken in years. I'm not sure how old that is, but it's old, amen? It's old. But here's the thing that I've noticed as I've studied this. I'm so glad that I've studied this week. You may go home and say, I didn't get a thing out of that, but I've been blessed this week by just staying 5-6 days in this, thinking about it and thinking about it. And looking at it, you realize that their prayer was answered all along? Now, don't you think about this. Their prayer was answered all along, and this was God's plan all along. That they didn't have a child while they were young, their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, maybe even 60s. This was God's will all along, and they accepted God's will. Now, they kept praying, but they accepted God's will. And this was God's will all along. They may not have understood everything, but sometimes God answers and we don't see it. Sometimes God answers us and we don't see it. And we're always asking why. Now here's the thing I want you to think about. We find that God not only gives them a son, He gives them a special son like no other son. And God even names the son, and the son's name is John, not Zacky baby. In other words, He said that it's John. God said, this is the name. Even the family says, well, there's nobody in our family by this name. God said, this is the name. This is a special child. This child is going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Now, you think about that. If they had a child in their 20s, He couldn't have been the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their prayers had been answered. Many times we miss that. And so here is the perfect time, the fullness of time, as in Galatians 4 and verse 4, with the coming of Messiah. They are waiting for Messiah. Now I want you to think about this. They're waiting for the consolation of Israel. They're waiting for Messiah. And all these years are well stricken in age. They're old now. And God chooses this faithful couple here, Zacharias and Elizabeth. God chooses them to bring forth the forerunner, John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And think about this. They had been reading Scripture all of their life. We're going to see tonight that Mary knew the Word of God. Matter of fact, Mary in her sermon, or if you like a milder word, you can call it a hymn. But in her sermon, she makes reference to the Old Testament many times, just standing and spouting it off. But here's the thing. We find that Zacharias and Elizabeth have been reading the Scripture all of their life. And now they're going to have a son, a special son, that's going to be the forerunner of Messiah. And his prophecy, and I think about this, you're in your 60s, 70s, maybe even beyond that. Now God is going to give you a son, and he has been mentioned already twice in the Scripture that you've been reading for over 70 years, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3 and Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Not by name, but he was prophesied in Scripture, and you've been reading them all along. There's going to be a forerunner. There's going to be a messenger. And then Messiah is going to come. He's going to be the forerunner. He's going to turn many to the Lord. And you've been reading that, and now this is going to be your son that's going to do that. We see their reward. Their reward for faith, for staying faithful and not quitting. And now the other women can quit sneering. You know, Elizabeth, because she's going to bring forth the forerunner of the Son of God, because the timing is exact according to God's calendar. The fullness of time has come for Messiah, Galatians 4 and verse 4, and the forerunner. And so everything is in God's timing. So God had answered their prayer all along. Now I want you to think about this. The Bible says here, notice with me, that as we come, it says in verse 10, now Zacharias is in the there where his lot was to burn incense in verse 9. When he went into the temple, he's executing the priest's office according to verse 8. Now verse 10, and the whole multitude of people were praying and without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayers heard. You ought to highlight that or underline that in your Bible. Notice he said, thy prayers heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. Notice now, as we look at this, we're looking at God's perfect will, that they had no child up until this point. It was God's plan and God's perfect will. And now they're going to have a child. He's going to be a special child. He's going to be the forerunner of Messiah. And by the way, they not only are going to have a child, but they are promised that this child will stay faithful to God. Amen? That's one of the things we pray for their children and grandchildren, right? Is that they'll grow up and love God and stay faithful to God. God says, I promise you, He's going to turn many to the Lord. He's going to be faithful. So they have that promise as well. And John the Baptist grew up in a very godly home. And you'll notice when, as we read on, it says here in verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And they did. As you read on through the chapter, you see that. And then in verse 15 said, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and a disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And then in verse 18, I want you to notice with me in verse 18, it says here, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Well, as we consider these passages, Zacharias was kind of shocked here at this time. I mean, you get this old, and now you're going to have a son, but not only a son, you're going to have the forerunner to Messiah that was prophesied in Isaiah and also in the book of Malachi. And I mean, these great things that are taking place in their life. They're promised that their son would be faithful, and he's going to affect an entire nation, and he's going to turn many hearts to the Lord. And I want you to notice with me in verse 37, it says this in verse 37. He says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Do we believe that? When we look down through here and see all these verses, notice with me in verse 24 and 25. He said in verse 24 and 25, "And after those things," after those days rather, notice his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, notice, to take away my reproach among men." They lived with this reproach for many, many years. Again, the 20s went by, the 30s went by, the 40s went by, no children, the 50s went by, and probably even the 70s went by. And here they are, later on in years, and God has made this beautiful promise to them. God is not limited by circumstances. We see this even with the Virgin Mary. She conceived and bare a son. And you know, when I look at this and I consider this, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God honors faith. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, the writer says, he mentions several things there that are bad and that are wrong. And then in the next verse, he says, "I will rejoice in the Lord." In other words, he's saying, "I will rejoice even in bad circumstances." I mean, things look bad at that time, and the writer said, "I will rejoice even in these horrible circumstances." And there will be times of adversity. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. And it's easy to quit during adversity. It's easy for us to think that God is not listening. He's not hearing our prayers. He's not blessing us. It would have been easy for Zacharias and Elizabeth to got into this thinking mindset, and still yet, you know what they did? They kept praying. They stayed faithful. They kept the commandments. They kept the ordinances blameless. In other words, they walked righteous before God. They were just kept serving God in His kingdom, and they were waiting for the consolation of Israel, not knowing that it's going to be their son that's going to introduce the new covenant, introduce the Messiah, to introduce the kingdom of God is now at hand. It was their son that was going to do that. Notice back now, as we come back here to this passage, notice in verse 53 just for a moment, in verse 53, and we'll be looking at this verse tonight. This is Mary's words. But it says here in verse 53, it says, "And he hath filled," notice, "the hungry with good things." Notice, and he said, "and the rich he has sent empty away." And I want to ask us this morning, are we hungry for the things of God? Because Mary says that God will fill the hungry. And so, and again, we're going to look at her testimony this evening. Now, we've considered their example of faith, Zacharias and Elizabeth. They're a great example of faith. Their faith I am to follow. I can learn from them. I can glean from them. I can receive hope and comfort from their faith. And then we also see here that God rewards faith. He honors the faithful. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But now number three, and last of all, I want you to see their testimony to faith. I want you to see what comes out of their mouth to testify to the Lord. Notice with me as we come to verse 39. Now let's look at Elizabeth first. Let's look at verse 39 through 45. This is her words. I want you to keep in mind her name means God is my oath. And now notice with me as we read this. It says in verse 39 through 45, we're going to see her confession, her testimony, and her rejoicing. It says here, verse 39, "And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary," now notice this, John gets in on this too, before he's ever born. Before that he's ever born. Now notice this. He said, "Yeah, I seen a bumper sticker Wednesday morning. It was still dark. I mentioned this to you Wednesday night. And I pulled up to a red light behind an automobile, and I read this bumper sticker, and I had to pull over and write this down because I'm on my way to the abortion clinic to minister. And the bumper sticker says, 'Your mama was pro-life, darling. Your mama was pro-life, darling.'" And we've got a tag back here that I found the other day, hadn't seen it in a while. And it says, "It's easy to be pro-life when you're not the one being killed." Amen? Oh yeah, it's easy. Now notice with me, as we come back here, it says in the middle of verse 41, now this is when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary. We're going to look at Mary tonight. Mary does a little preaching too. But notice here, it says when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, this is John, leaped in her womb. Notice, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. What we see here in this passage, we see that she rejoices, she shouts, she praises God, she is filled with the Holy Ghost, and my granny would say she had a spell. We find here that she saw the Lord because she was looking for the Lord. Now notice this, as we come here in this passage, and by the way, you can't hardly get a holy grunt out of many people. You think about what God has done for you. You think about how God has saved you. And that, you know what the Apostle Paul did the rest of his life after he was converted? You know what he did? He gave his testimony every opportunity. You read through the book of Acts, Paul standing up and giving his testimony. And you say, "Well, I'm not old enough to do that." Well, all indications are is that Mary, that she loved the Scripture, she knew the Scripture, and when the angel appeared in her, many believed that she was no more than 14, 15, 16 years of age whenever the angel came to her and talked to her about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice we find here in verse 42, "And she spake out with a loud voice." By the way, we can talk about other things. I hear people talk about sports. I hear them talk about, you know, doing things and hobbies and all these kind of things. We can't even give God a testimony. But you can take folks that wouldn't say a word about the Lord, and you turn them loose in another setting and another environment, and they'll talk about everything under the sun but give testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Amen? You ought to be jumping up and see who can be first to give testimony to the Lord because of what He's done for you. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says here in verse 42, "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb.'" This is the Lord Jesus now inside of Mary. In verse 43, "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" In verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Even John, inside of his mother's womb, leaped for joy. Elizabeth is leaping for joy. And the Bible said here in verse 45, "And blessed..." Now notice here in this passage, we find that in verse 42, verse 43, and also verse 45, the word blessed means to speak well of. It means to extol another's virtue. In other words, we bless God, but God also blesses His people. And Mary was very unique. She was the only one that had this honor and privilege of carrying the Son of God. She brought forth the Son of God in flesh. No other woman before her or after her had this privilege. This is one of the greatest honors that can befall upon a woman. And so Elizabeth is testifying to this. Notice with me in verse 45, it said, "And blessed is she that believed." Notice Mary was a believer. And it goes on to say, "For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Elizabeth is confirming to Mary. Now think about it. Here you've got Mary as a young girl, a teenage girl, that is with child, with the Son of God. She is a virgin. And you got Elizabeth that is well stricken in years. And they are confirmation to one another that God is working in their lives. And here in verse 45 talks about the Lord is going to perform this. That is the promises that are made in the Old Testament, the promises that was made to Mary. In other words, there's confirmation of faith here as Elizabeth and Mary speaks in verse 45 again, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." In other words, we have the testimony of Elizabeth here in this passage. She magnified the Lord. She blessed the Lord. Again, we see that she saw the Lord because she was looking for the Lord, and she gives testimony to that. Now, let's talk about Elizabeth for a few Zacharias for a few moments. I want to begin in verse 67, and for time's sake, I'm not going to read the part where that, the baby comes and they're wanting to name the baby, and so the father, Zacharias, writes it down on a piece of paper, and then God opens his mouth. But did God ever open his mouth? I want you to think about this. Did God ever open his mouth? He was a little preachy too after God opened his mouth. And we're going to read from verse 67 through verse 80. And this is where we're going to close at this morning. We're going to read all these verses. This is the testimony. We already seen the testimony of Elizabeth. Now we see the testimony of Zacharias. And there's just so many truths and prophecies that we find in his testimony. Again, I want to ask you this morning, why can't we praise the Lord when we get the opportunity to do so? We could talk about 1,000 other things. Why can't we pray to the Lord as we need to pray? Why is it that in our society that it's so difficult to kneel at an altar? So difficult to hear anybody weep anymore, to pour out their heart before God. Again, we talk about everything else. We could talk about this time of year, people talk about Christmas, talk about trips, talk about fishing and hunting, talk about games and sports and all these kind of things. And, you can even watch people. They get talk about the things they love. Their eyes light up. How many know what I'm talking about? Their eyes kind of light up. You see that enthusiasm, that anticipation, that excitement in their voice. And you can see it in their face and you can see it in their eyes. But what about the things of God? You just about have to pull a testimony out of somebody. But you get them talking about fishing and hunting and sports and football, especially in Alabama and right now and things like that. And you can see their eyes light up and they know all there is about it. I mean, what I'm saying is we need to get a heart for God. We need to be willing wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, to give testimony for the Lord. It's in the post office, in the bank, it's in the store, it's in this church. Wherever that we're at, we need to take the opportunities to testify to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's our Savior. He's all for us. Just like with Zachariah and Elizabeth and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Listen, they knew the Lord. They walked with the Lord. They knew the Scripture. Their time weren't wasted with a bunch of garbage. We're going to see tonight a young lady in her teenage years that I want you to read her testimony here that begins in verse 46 and ends somewhere around verse 56. And just read her testimony before we come back tonight to preach. And look at the... there's probably 10 to 15 references from the Old Testament that she's just spouting those off just like that. Just spouting them off just like that. She couldn't tell you the game of the last football season or whatever, or the Olympics in her days or whatever, but she could tell you about the Lord. And she could tell you where He was promised at and what God was doing back there in that Old Testament. She could tell you what all these things meant to her. And so could Elizabeth, and so could Zacharias. Now notice with me, you see, I desire to see our eyes. I'm going to read this in just a moment because I'm running out of time. I desire to see our eyes light up when we talk about our Savior. Amen? That's what I want to see, is our eyes light up when we talk about our Savior. As you would if somebody put a gift in your hand and give to you. See our voice and disposition on our face and so forth. See the countenance, rather, on our face. You know, when we speak of our Lord and we have the opportunities to speak of Him. Notice now, as we begin reading in verse 67, I'm going to close here, right here in this passage. But he says here in verse 67, now this is where Zacharias begins preaching. Just gets a little preachy here as we get to this passage. And he says this, now notice with me. He says here in verse 67, and his father Zacharias, notice as Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. Now notice I can't comment on all this because there's several sermons in these verses, but just notice what he said. Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He had visited and redeemed His people, and raised up a horn. A horn is a king, one with authority. Raised up a horn. He's testifying to Jesus Christ. And it's raised up in horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. Now think about all the words here, redemption, God's visited His people, the horn of salvation, the house of David, all this. Verse 77, He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. Notice He's talking about the new covenant, the kingdom of God. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about the hope that we have in Him. He said in verse 73, the hope which He sware to our father Abraham. He said in verse 74 that He would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His way. He's talking about His son now. He's talking about John. And he's talking about John that the Lord named, and He said, you're gonna go before the face of the Lord to prepare His way. And then He said in verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to His people and by remission of their sins. And He said in verse 78, He said, though the tender mercy of our God, the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to give our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of His showing unto Israel. I'm simply saying to you that when we come to Luke chapter 1, and this chapter is mainly filled with Zacharias and Elizabeth, we find their example of faith to you and I. And we find their reward of faith. And then last of all, we find their testimony to the faith of God and the truths and the promises that God had given to them. This is a beautiful example of a husband and wife that are one in Christ, that are one in marriage, and they're one in service for the Lord, faithfully serving the Lord. And I pray that this will mean something to you and I as we look at this, and that we will learn from this. We will get comfort from this. We will have hope from this. And also, as Romans chapter 15, I want to make sure I got this right, and this just came to my mind, I'm going to read that verse again. Listen to this. He said in verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." Through patience. Do you know of anyone that was any more patient than Zacharias and Elizabeth as they went through the years of their life, decades passing by and not having a child? They were patient. They loved God. They were righteous. They were keeping all the commandments and ordinances of God blameless. And still yet, there was reproach in their life at the very time they were walking faithful to God. This is not some storybook tale here. This is real people that lived in the first century that had real problems and loved God and walked with God, and they exhibited their faith and they were rewarded for their faith, and then they testified to the faith that they have in God. Shall we come and close in prayer? Oh, Father, I pray this morning in Christ Jesus' name, Lord, that we can learn from the saints of old. Father, that we can learn from those that went before us, that followed You and loved You. Lord, You've given us many examples. You've given us one whole chapter in Hebrews that speak of those that were before us. Lord, let us look at these and not look at the things of this world. Let us look at these and for success, for spiritual success. Let us consider this man and woman that loved You. Let us consider this young girl, Mary, that You chose among all the women of the world to carry the Son of God. Let us learn from Anna, the widow, for many, many years. Let us learn from Simeon, the servant of the Lord that was older in the years also, that waited for the consolation of Israel. God, as they stayed faithful, and they're looking for the first coming of Messiah, believing the Scripture, waiting, Lord, and patiently walking and waiting for You to come. Lord, let us today learn from them that we will walk in the faith. Lord, that we'll be patient, that we'll serve You, and that we'll walk in all the commandments and ordinances, Lord, that we will be righteous before You and also before men. Oh God, as we look for the second coming of Messiah, we pray this morning, dear God, keep us close to You and keep us faithful, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.